bound session, the Honorable Thomas T. Glover presiding.
Good morning, you may be seated. Alec Olson still on my calendar this morning. Right?
Yeah, I think several matters on the calendar this morning.
That's what I thought, yeah, and then Express Aircraft after that. Let's go ahead with Alex Olson.
Yeah.
Mr. Feinstein?
Well, I'm just looking, Christie, oh, here she comes.
Yeah.
I'll start.
All right, go ahead.
Just out of the courtroom. There's two matters pending before the court on Express Aircraft. The debtor has made a motion to compel turnover of property in the estate that's in the hands of a custodian under Section 542 and 543 of the Bankruptcy Code. Concurrently, in a response to the motion to turn over property in the estate under 542 and 543, certain judgment creditors who had the property seized have filed an objection, of course, to the turnover and filed concurrently a motion to dismiss the proceedings. We had an initial hearing several weeks ago on that. Pleadings were filed, responses, brief memorandums and declarations, and the court said it would require probably an evidentiary hearing to get a little more basis rather than 5 minutes on the motion calendar so that the parties could put on some testimony as to the potential viability, I guess, of the company in response to turning over the assets back to the debtor and on their concurrent motion to dismiss. The creditors committee has been formed. They've hired counsel, I guess, recently, like over the weekend. Mr. Tracy filed last night a response to the pending motions, and I don't know that the court's entered an order yet retaining him, but he's here on behalf of the creditors committee. So we're prepared to put on some testimony regarding the debtor's motion and in response to the motion to dismiss that this is there's a potential for a viable reorganization here. And Ms. Tobin's.
Okay, Ms. Tobin?
Your Honor, I understood this was to be an evidentiary hearing on our motion to dismiss, and the test being whether the debtor's attempting to unreasonably deter and harass creditors or attempting to effect a speedy, efficient reorganization on a reasonable basis. The company hasn't been operating over 2 years. All assets have been sitting in storage. The bankruptcy was filed on the eve of a foreclosure sale, and based upon a judgment that my clients finally got when they got tired of waiting for anything to happen, the evidence will show that there's no intention or ability to reorganize. In addition, there were a number of statements made by the debtor in connection with its prior motion for turnover that were inaccurate, and we're prepared to put on our testimony in the form of Mr. Wolfelt, who is one of my clients, as well as one of the former employees of the debtor, as well as our examination of Mr. Hanthorn regarding what has taken place over the last 2 years.
Okay. All right. Mr. Feinstein, you may call your first witness.
Okay. Mr. Hanthorn.
I'm going to step over here, please. Right over here. Get you to raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear that the testimony you have given the matter now pending before this court will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
All right, be seated, please. Go ahead, Mr. Feinstein.
Would you state your name, please?
Barry Brian Hanthorn, H-E-N-T-H-O-R-N.
And what's your relationship to the debtor entity?
I'm the sole owner of Exosphere Aircraft Company, the Washington Corporation, which is the managing member of Express LLC.
And is there any other members of the debtor Express Aircraft?
No.
Okay, so Exosphere is the managing member, but the sole entity that owns the assets.
That's correct.
Okay, and you're the owner of the managing member.
That's correct.
Okay. And when did you acquire your interest in the debtor corp? When I'm speaking of you, I'm Ecosphere acquired its interest in the debtor corporation?
A couple of years ago.
Approximately when?
2004. There's a document. November.
You have to speak up. I can't hear you.
I apologize.
Yeah. In fact, you might want to twist that microphone around there. That'll
just better for
you. Oh, wonderful.
Obviously better, yes. I would look to the document for the actual date, but it was late 2004 by recollection.
Okay. So let's go back a little bit. When the Express Aircraft, did you know when it was originally formed, or when it started doing business?
As an entity, as Express or as the aircraft?
Express.
Few years prior to that, and again, I'd have to look to the record for an actual date.
And when you acquired the business, did you get possession of the books and records of the business?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and those books and records indicated that there are certain assets of the company that you were acquiring and liabilities of the company?
That's correct.
Okay, and eventually we filed this petition for relief, is that in Chapter 11?
Correct.
And with your assistance, bankruptcy schedules and statements were prepared listing all of the debts and all the assets?
Yes.
Okay, and those are generally set forth in the forms that we filed at the bankruptcy court of what the debts and the assets were?
That's my understanding.
Okay. What I'm getting at is that when you acquired the business, was it an operating business?
No, it was not.
Okay, and it was closed down?
Yes.
Essentially, then, the schedules and statements you filed at the court listing the debts and the assets were as of the time that you had the records meeting when it was closed down?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Did you incur any new debts after you acquired it, or are these essentially all the bills that were from a previous owner?
No, there's been substantial money since then.
Okay, and those are things you've been doing to try, to get the company up and running?
Yes.
Okay. The schedule of debts, though, that are listed here, and more particularly the creditors that are making the motion to dismiss today, were those debts incurred by you, or were those debts that were pre-existing when you bought the company?
Those were existing at the time that I became involved.
Okay, so these are older debts from a previous owner?
Yes.
The original owner of the company, what happened? Who owned the company?
I know from history, although I was not involved at the time, that Larry Olson was the owner of the company at the time that he died. And then after that, Roy and Nancy Moon purchased the company from the estate. And then that was Express LLC, and then their membership interest is what Exosphere purchased at the time that I acquired it.
And Larry Olson was who?
He was the owner of Express, and an engineer and a builder, and a pilot. And
then he died in a?
He died in an airplane accident.
In an airplane accident. So what does Express Aircraft do?
They manufacture an experimental kit aircraft that's four-place, piston, propeller-driven. They have two models primarily. One is a fixed gear and one is a retractable gear.
And then they're also designing one with a retractable gear?
That would be the retractable, yes.
Okay. And in fact, in the assets, there is an aircraft listed in the schedules. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is a completed aircraft as well as several partially completed aircraft.
Okay, and what's the completed aircraft?
It's tail number 511 EA, which is an Express 2000 FT. It's a fixed gear.
Okay, and that's listed on the schedules as an operating aircraft, as far as you know. I mean, it's flyable.
Yes, it is today.
One of the concerns raised by the petition creditors is that there was not insurance on that aircraft. Is in fact the debtor obtained insurance?
Uh,
For the aircraft?
Yeah, and there has been insurance on the aircraft for some time.
Okay. I don't know if the clerk handed you your exhibit book, but could you look at exhibit number one?
I have it in front of me.
Okay, and what is exhibit number one?
It says Special Aviation Underwriters, Inc., and it is a copy of the policy on the aircraft.
Okay, so this is the policy that indicates that Express Aircraft has now obtained insurance to insure that aircraft?
Correct.
Okay. I think we provided as well, there's an additional signed one that was given to the U.S. Trustee's Office. Recollect obtaining that for me and giving it to them.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'll offer exhibit one, Your Honor, as a copy of the.
Any objection?
No.
Exhibit one is in.
Okay. The aircraft is registered to Express Aircraft Company.
Express Aircraft Company LLC, correct.
And so it's an asset of the estate. Can you look at exhibit number two? Is that a copy of the registration certificate?
It appears to be, yes.
And indicates the owner is the registered owner.
The registered owner is Express Aircraft Company, LLC.
Okay. I'll offer number two.
Any objection?
No.
It's admitted.
Ben, explain a little more of what Express Aircraft then does. You said it provides these kits, but I mean, what is the if the business was up and operating, what would it be doing?
It would be manufacturing parts and kits, as well as developing the future evolution of the aircraft itself to keep it current with current design trends.
And so when Ecosphere agreed to buy the membership interest of the people that acquired it after Mr. Olson's death, what was Ecosphere's intention then with Express Aircraft?
To restart up operations after evaluating what the feasibility of the business was and trying to understand the mistakes it put into the current position that it was in at the time, and to have the company be back up and running in manufacturing parts and whatever the business ended up being determined to be the best direction of it after that feasibility.
So wasn't your intention just to acquire these to, as a liquidator or something, that you buy them out of the warehouse and then sell them off or something? You were going to try to operate the business?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we'd have sold them years ago if that was the case.
And then what steps initially did you take then to start that process?
Interviewed people that were formerly involved with the company, spoke to as many of the builders as I could, talked to some other people who had much more aviation experience than I do about what they felt was the positives and negatives and the capital requirements, and looked at a couple of different sort of business models as to what the best thing to do with the company was, primarily.
Okay. And is your understanding that there are the assets of the company are still intact, that those assets could be then put back ready to go as a to operating entity?
Absolutely.
Okay. So exhibit number three, would you take a look at that? Could you indicate what that is?
This is a list of inventory that was taken of what is actually in the hangar that was taken.
So there's several pages of the inventory list?
Correct.
Okay. And then the third page is what?
Third page is a federal asset report for Express Aircraft.
The difference being is that on the asset exhibit three, the third page has values or something to the assets versus just the itemized list in the first few pages?
That's correct.
Okay, and then there's a value of what these assets are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'll offer number three, Your Honor.
Okay, any objection?
I actually do have an objection, Your Honor. I don't know that Mr. Henthorne has any knowledge that these things are actually still in the hangar. I believe these inventories were prepared prior to his acquisition of the company.
That's not accurate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's ask, you want to ask some questions in aid of your objection, or Mr. Feinstein maybe can, so we can get this straightened out.
Sure. Yeah. Mr. Henthorne, page 3 of this exhibit, what's the date on that?
3/17/2005.
I'm seeing a date for year ending December 31st, 2004, is that correct?
If you can point me to it, I probably can read it.
The top left-hand corner. And where did you receive this document?
This document came when we purchased the company.
So this document came from the sellers of the company when you purchased it?
This document here did, yes.
And did you, and at that time the items were in a hangar, were they not?
Yes, they were.
And did you inspect the items to make sure that all of these items were actually there?
The list that you're seeing, the two pages prior, were taken by Robert Trupner in physical form on a notepad going through the assets some 6 months after we acquired it.
I'm sorry, who did you say took that?
Robert Trupner.
And who was that again?
He is an A&P mechanic. Who went down there with another individual and took the inventory. So to be clear, the first couple of pages here were taken by hand after we had acquired Express. The third page was something that was provided to us at the time that we purchased it.
Okay, well, I would definitely object to number three, that you don't have any knowledge that this is the case. I have no knowledge as to whether these items that are listed on the first two pages are actually there, nor is the person who allegedly prepared this inventory here to say that they are. So I would say that that's hearsay as to whether they are.
Right. This guy worked for you at the time?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to admit the first two pages of Exhibit 2 and not the third page without further evidence. I'm not sure it makes any difference anyway, because I don't know what the difference is between the first two pages versus the third page. And my understanding of the testimony is that the parts in the hangar are the first two pages anyway. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Feinstein.
So it's your understanding that these parts then, consisting of the inventory, would constitute a full manufacturing plant for the parts that you would need to get the company running?
Absolutely. Okay.
Do you have any idea how many Express aircraft there are out there flying around about right now?
I don't have an accurate number, but from what I understand, there's about 400.
Okay. And they would routinely need parts or supplies or replacement parts?
Sure. As parts either wore out or broke.
Okay. And the intention of the company to get back up and running is to provide replacement or parts as well as kits?
That's correct.
The company was, as best of your knowledge, went just before Mr. Olson died. I mean, it was an operating viable entity.
It was an operating company, yes.
And doing regular business.
Did quite a bit of business.
And then you were provided indicating records showing its operations and your decision to purchase the business.
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
Could you look at exhibit number 8?
Yes.
And what are those?
It says Express Aircraft Company, LLC, profit and loss, previous year comparison, January through December 2004.
Okay, and there's also a comparison to the previous year?
Yes, there is.
Okay, and were those records provided to you in the purchase of the business?
Yes.
As far as you know, that those records are kept in the ordinary course of business?
Yes.
And those records were business records that were provided then to you as when you purchased the business?
That's correct.
And they reflect that the company was operating, having income, and when, what their expenses were?
That's correct.
Okay. We'll offer number 8, Your Honor.
Okay.
No objection.
Okay, it is admitted.
So tell me a little bit more about then what would be necessary, or what steps have you been taking to get this company then up and running? What are you going to need as far as the facility?
Okay. The facility is up in Snohomish County, which is a 60 by 90 foot hangar with office space as well. It is currently leased, and we're just hoping for an opportunity to, you know, to get started here. And you know, we're on the hook for the lease whether we do or not. So we also have, you know, a number of employees that are, or I should be clear, we have a number of individuals who are very committed to the project, very talented people who want to see this thing fly, and you know, we're just looking for the opportunity to do that.
Okay. Look at exhibit number 7. What's exhibit number 7? What is it?
It's a list of pilots that have expressed interest in flying the airplane known as M511EA.
Okay, and who are these, who essentially are these people?
Well, they're detailed out here, but Charles Wood is an individual who is a builder of Express and would like to get type certification in the airplane. John Burr is in the same scenario. He's an actual builder of an Express whose airplane is nearing completing. Rob Schaefer is a CFI who would like to be able to get type certified in the airplane. Chip Pearson is also a CFI who wants to get certified in the airplane. And Arnold's expressed an interest as well, although I don't know him.
Are these people that you've contacted or working with so that you've got a body of people ready to assist Express once it gets up and running?
Yes.
So that's another step that you've been taking to get the company back up from being closed down in 2004?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then you indicated that another step you've taken is to acquire a hangar to set up the manufacturing facility?
That's correct.
And I'll offer Exhibit 7 now.
No objection.
Okay. It's admitted really as a summary of testimony.
Could you look at exhibit number 10?
Yes.
And is that, what is that?
This was, at the time that we had agreed to take on the hangar, which was obviously quite some time ago, the building is an older building, and it needed a fair amount of retrofitting in order to be suitable for what it is that we want to use it for. And so we put a deposit down, which is a letter of intent to lease the premises. And on the basis of this, then Harvey Field completely renovated the building right down to the studs, gutted it, rebuilt it. It's now effectively a brand new facility, all new doors, windows, big door, new ceiling, new walls. The only thing that remains the same, I think, is the roof and the concrete on the floor.
So essentially, that you're ready to go with a space and location ready to move these assets into and set them up as a facility.
Yes, we've actually taken possession of it.
Okay. And this is there's a exhibit number 10, a lease agreement for the commercial premises.
Yes.
Okay. And that's now ready to take occupancy?
We've taken occupancy.
Okay. Ready to move this stuff?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing there other than okay. Big open space and a bill.
I'll offer 10, Your Honor.
No objection.
It's admitted.
And then currently, it's in storage in In a hangar in Olympia, is that correct?
There are two hangars in Olympia, G7 and G9.
And the debtor or through Ecosphere, the managing member, you've been paying the rent on that?
Yes, for years.
And that's, there's a lease, a rental agreement for that hangar that everything's still secured in there and the rent's being paid?
Yes, correct.
Okay, exhibit number 9, what is that?
It is a lease from the Port of Olympia for the hangar space that that we were just referring to.
Okay, and that's where it's essentially currently located?
That's where the assets are in question, are located, yes.
Okay, I'll offer.
No objection.
Exhibit 9 is admitted.
Right. Now, since the company's not operating, it's got to have some funds to get up and going and get operating.
Mm-hmm.
You indicated that you're the owner or the managing member of the company. Could you look at exhibit number 6?
Yes.
And what is that?
It's a line of credit between Exosphere Aircraft Company and Express Aircraft Company for $50,000 so that there would be a way to maintain the Express and give it some working capital to do its feasibility and so forth, and that's what's been drawn on.
So you're willing to put some money into the company?
I've put personal money into the company. Exosphere's put money into the company. Exosphere's sister publicly traded company of the same name has put money into the company and is prepared, willing, ready, able to take this company and to move it forward. We're just looking for the opportunity to do so.
And so Exhibit 6 is the line of credit that's been extended to the debtor so that it would have some funds to go.
Correct.
And I think concurrently, there's a motion pending to authorize borrowing under Section 364. I don't think it's set for today, but to authorize basically Ecosphere to start advancing money to the debtor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're ready to advance the funds?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll offer 6.
No objection.
It is admitted.
Okay. And then one of the requirements in Chapter 11 is you prepare a budget showing that that the company can get up and running besides having some funds. And that was filed, I think, with your Rule 1116 statement. But Exhibit number 4, you had to prepare for the U.S. trustee a balance sheet as of today. Is that Exhibit number 4?
Yes, that is Exhibit number 4.
And then Exhibit number 5 was the a pro forma operating budget for the debtor that you had to prepare for the U.S. trustee?
Yes.
Okay. And those are, in fact, indicates what you think that startup cost will be for various things you've indicated in your budget, facilities, rent, gas, electrical, whatever, office wages.
That's correct.
Are those pretty, I think, pretty good numbers?
I hope so. I think so, yes.
Okay. And it's within the budget what you'll advance?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. We'll offer 4 and 5, Your Honor.
No objection.
They are admitted.
And if, in fact, the property is turned over, is the debtor ready? Well, you indicated we have a lease, but you have ready the manpower to start putting together the company to get it up and running?
Absolutely.
Okay. The creditors committee has filed a response indicating that they think that a plan should be filed, you know, on a very short time period, like 45 days. Do you think that it would be feasible for you to put together a plan how you're going to get this company running within a and get something filed indicating what your plan's going to be in a short period of time?
I think we'll put whatever resources are required towards obtaining that goal, yes.
So you think you could meet that kind of deadline to get at least a plan showing the creditors what your intentions are?
Certainly.
Okay.
It would be a lot awfully helpful if we could take Take what's down there and actually be able to spread it out, look at it, and to be much more accurate with that, but yes.
And to the best of your knowledge, there are sufficient assets located currently that the company could start putting together the company to operate without having to go out and buy a lot of other molds or anything?
Yes, that's my understanding.
All right. I have no further questions, John.
Okay. Examination?
Your Honor,
Mr. Feinstein, my direct and my cross sort of are going to overlap, so do you mind if I just ask all my questions
right now?
No, just,
I'd blend it.
Okay. Mr. Hanthorn, just to avoid a lot of confusion, there are three companies that we're going to be talking about that have very similar names. There's an Exosphere Aircraft Company, Inc., that's a Florida corporation, correct?
Correct.
And there's an Exosphere Aircraft Company, Inc., that's a Washington corporation, correct?
That's correct.
And there's an Express Aircraft Company, correct?
LLC, yes.
Okay. Can I hand up a diagram, just so we all kind of know who we're talking about and who is what here?
Sure. Oh, sorry.
Questions about this to make sure that I have everything straight. Okay. Mr. Hanthorn, Exosphere Aircraft Company, Inc., the Florida company that I have written here as the Florida company, now you're approximately the two-thirds owner of that, is that correct?
Approximately, yes.
Okay. And that is not the debtor's parent company.
No.
So I'm just going to call that the Florida company to avoid some confusion.
Great.
And then there's an Exosphere Aircraft Company, Inc. that's a Washington corporation. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you are the 100% owner of that?
That is correct.
And that is the managing member and owner of the debtor. Is that correct?
That is the managing member of the debtor, yes.
And the sole owner of the debtor?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Sorry about that. I think I just said this, but you're the sole owner of the parent company, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and that's the Washington Corporation. And the parent company was formed to purchase the debtor, is that correct?
The parent company was formed to go into the aircraft business.
Okay, when was the parent company formed?
Again, I would look to the record to look at when it was actually formed. I believe it was formed 5 or 6 years ago, but I think the question you're probably asking me is when did we gain control of the company, and that was a little over a year ago.
Well, it was my understanding that the parent company was formed in June of 2005. Is that correct?
I would look to the record, but...
Okay, well, I have it in your deposition transcript. I mean, would you disagree that it was formed in June 2005?
I would. It doesn't seem unreasonable, but you're asking me for a specific date here, and I'm going to go to the record instead of...
I'm not asking you for a specific date. And the... parent company purchased the debtor. You had said, I think, October of 2004, but I believe that was June of 2005, wasn't it?
It may have been, again, as I
okay.
said, I would reflect on the record.
Well, let's look at, do you have a notebook in front of you in addition to what you were already looking at?
No.
Give him the other notebook.
Okay. If you could please turn to what's marked there as tab number 7. And we looked at this in your deposition. The first page looks like a fax cover sheet, but after that, there's another document. Do you see that? I think I had it blown up because it was really difficult
to... Okay, I'm going to have to remove the...
Yeah, that's fine. I had it blown up because it was a fax copy and really difficult to read.
So is this actually what you're wanting me
yeah,
to do?
Yeah, exactly,
okay.
Yes.
And that
Sorry.
Is effectively the same stuff, sir.
Your Honor, I think yours is also clipped to it. I had it blown up so we could all read it. Is that the document? Well, actually, can you identify the document?
It appears to be. Do you want the facsimile document? Or the
no, the next page.
Okay, just trying to be clear. It's an assignment of membership interest.
Okay, and is this the document under which the parent company purchased the debtor?
It appears to be, yes.
Okay, and is that your signature a couple pages back?
Yes.
Okay. I would ask that this be admitted as, I guess, number 11 is what we're on.
Okay.
Pardon? Okay. Oh, no objection. All right. And
okay, it is admitted.
Okay.
Let's call it number 17. You start with number 1, and we'll make that number 11 if you want to admit
okay.
it. And that way we'll be fairly consistent, I think.
Thank
so
you.
So this will be Exhibit 17. Just put a 1 in front of it.
Am I done with this?
Okay. So, pardon me?
Am I done with this?
No, we're not done with it. We may wish to refer to it, but you might remember. Now, isn't it correct that the parent company paid $1 to purchase the membership interest?
It paid $1 plus assumed all the liabilities, yes.
Okay. Well, $1 in cash, is that right?
In cash, yes.
All right. And as part of the purchase price, the parent company was to service a $100,000 note from the debtor to Venture Bank. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And also as part of the purchase price, the parent company was to exercise reasonable best efforts to refinance or pay off the note within 6 months. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And did the parent company refinance that note?
No.
And did it pay off the note?
No.
Okay. And Roy Davis and Nancy Moon, they now have a claim in the bankruptcy. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And is that claim $250,000?
I'd have to look to it.
Okay. Shall we go ahead and look at it? If we turn to exhibit number, let's see, it is tab 9 here. So I think that would be 15. Or no. 19. Okay. So if we turn to the Schedule F, creditors holding unsecured non-priority claims.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you see a claim there in favor of Roy Davis and Nancy Moon? It's on page 11 of 13 if you look at the bottom.
Thank you. I do see one for Roy Davis, yes.
And is that in the amount of $250,000?
Yes, it is.
And is part of that based on the fact that relating to the $100,000 note?
I don't know all of what is in their particular claim. You have to ask them, but it would seem reasonable to me.
Okay, and I think that you indicated previously to me that the bank took their collateral that they had put up in satisfaction of the $100,000 note.
That is my understanding.
Okay. Okay, so going back to tab number 17, which is that big document beside you. Now, isn't it correct that the parent company was to use reasonable best efforts to work with the existing creditors regarding Express's obligations?
That's correct.
Okay. Sorry to do this to you, but we have to go back to the tab we were just looking at.
Good, I didn't move.
Which was 19. When I look at Schedule F that we were just looking at, I count approximately 50 unsecured creditors. Would that sound about right to you?
It sounds about right.
Okay, and then when you turn to the last page of Exhibit F there, I see a total claim amount of $765,175.02. Would you disagree with that?
Disagree that that's the number on the
that's
page?
That's the number, yes.
I do not disagree that that's the number
okay,
on the page.
Okay, and you filed these. I mean, you signed these schedules.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and now, this amount doesn't reflect my client's judgment amounts, does it?
I do not believe so.
Okay. Now, of these 50 scheduled unsecured creditors, as of the date that you and I met in deposition on May 7th, isn't it correct that you had only finalized settlement with two of those creditors?
That's correct.
Okay. And let's see. Back to exhibit number 17. Isn't it correct, as part of the purchase, the parent company was to pay the debtor's payroll tax obligations the amount of approximately $10,000?
I believe so.
Okay, and I see on the debtor's bankruptcy schedule a claim in favor of the IRS for $10,830. Are those the payroll tax obligations?
I'm not certain what they comprise of.
Did the parent company pay those payroll tax obligations?
No.
Okay.
Not as of yet.
All right. So that was June 2005 that... Just clarifying, you agree that it was June 2005 that the parent company purchased the debtor. Okay. Now, it's correct, isn't it, that the debtor has not operated since 2004?
That's correct.
Okay. And the debtor's had no employees since 2004?
That's correct.
And the debtor's had no income since 2004?
That's correct.
And the debtor's had no bank account until this bankruptcy was filed and the U.S. trustee required it?
Not in the name of Express, no.
Okay. But because the debtor's had no funds coming in, correct?
The money that was coming on behalf of the company.
But this was not income that the debtor was producing.
It was not income, that's correct.
And the debtor's had no office since you took over.
Well, they've operated out of my corporate offices.
It's had
no... So there's no need to have an office outside of that office.
Okay. And isn't it correct that the debtor has no written business plan?
That's not correct.
Okay. And was that correct as of May 7th when I took your deposition?
No. What I told you on May 7th was that the business plan that existed, as all business plans need, always need to be worked on. There was nothing that I felt was presentable at the time.
Okay, because that's not what I recall you telling me, so maybe we should take a look at that. Okay.
I'd request that the deposition of Mr. Hanthorn be published.
Okay, go ahead and open it up and we'll look at it.
Why would you do that? Can I ask for a clarification? Ms. Tobin asked serious questions about whether the debt has been operating in 2004 or 7.
Pardon me?
Your question is for what year? 2004?
Since the debtor acquired it. Well, some in 2004.
Oh, since. That's what's called publishing.
Oh, it's crazy. They ought to get rid of the requirement. I mean, it's one of the only things court reporters can charge for nowadays is the ink on the envelope. And this comes from an age when you didn't make tape recordings of things, and so I suppose somebody had to trust in the court reporter that they were telling the truth. I've never had any trouble with that as far as court reporters. Sometimes they make a mistake, but it has nothing to do with veracity.
Well, after all that, I can't find the page that it's on, so we're gonna have to hold off until I get back to that. So, isn't it true that the debtor's corporate registration had lapsed in 2004 and wasn't reinstated until after this bankruptcy was filed?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Mr. Hanthorn, did you cause to be filed with this court a motion to compel turnover of the assets that were being held by the sheriff?
Is that accurate? Yes, it is.
Okay. And did you file a declaration in support of that motion?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And I think that is tab number 11, which will be Exhibit 18. And to the extent I didn't request that Exhibit 19 be admitted, I would request that at this time.
Any objection?
No.
It's admitted.
Okay, Mr. Hanthorn, do you recognize that document?
Yes.
Is that the declaration that you signed?
It appears to be.
Okay. And could you turn to page 2 and look at line 3, the paragraph starting in addition?
Yes.
And could you read that, please?
In addition, the debtor has employees which have nothing to do, as the assets of the debtor have been seized and are currently locked up by the sheriff under the writ of execution. The debtor is continuing to pay its employees and needs the offset income when the equipment is released. Accordingly, time is of the essence.
Okay. Mr. Hanthorn, didn't you just testify that the debtor has had no employees since 2004?
Yes, I did.
And the debtor's generated no income since 2004?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And if you could look at page 1 of the same declaration, the paragraph starting at line 26.
Mm-hmm.
Could you read that, please?
In addition, the managing member, Exosphere Aircraft, pays the debtor to use our shop equipment and molds. If that equipment is not released, the debtor forthwith, the parent company will have to go out and purchase its own equipment and shop and will not need our equipment. And there will be a substantial income loss in the estate.
Okay. The debtor does not have a shop, does it?
Yes, it does.
Where's the shop?
In Snohomish.
Okay. And at the time...
Let me be clear. At the time of this express, and again, I appreciate your diagram.
Right.
Exosphere was in the process of taking the equipment and so forth from the hangar to the facility in Snohomish and was going to utilize that for Exosphere's shop as well as the express operations.
At the time this declaration was signed, did the debtor have its own shop?
Is that a meaning express? No.
Okay. And... at that time, no one was paying the debtor to use its equipment or molds, was it?
There was an agreement to utilize the equipment for the purposes of Exosphere, which is why the shop up in Snohomish was originally entered into, in addition to Express's.
Okay. Had anyone paid the debtor to use its equipment or molds since the parent company purchased it in 2005?
They had advanced substantial money, yes.
Had anybody paid the debtor to use its equipment or molds?
It had agreed to.
It's a yes or no question. Had anyone paid the debtor to use its equipment or molds?
It had paid them to use them, but it did not use them, so that's where I'm confused on the question.
Okay. If you could turn to page 1, line 22.
Page 1 of this document?
Yes, okay, 1 of this document, you. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Could you read that paragraph, the company?
The company just recently certified its airplane, which has to be certified on an annual basis. The airplane would be currently used for flying lessons, as I have a waiting list of individuals signed up to take flying lessons. The debtor is losing income on a day-to-day basis because the airplane is not locked up.
Okay. Mr. Hanthorn, when we talk about the aircraft, this is the aircraft that we looked at the registration for earlier. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And have you personally checked whether it's against the FAA regulations to rent the aircraft for flight training?
It is not.
It is not
what? It is not against the FAA regulations to utilize the aircraft for type certification in the aircraft.
Okay, and how do you know that?
Because I asked somebody who knows more than me, and I relied on them telling me that.
Okay.
Let's see if I get this straight. He answered your question by talking about type certification, which is different, I think, from flight training, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, the individuals we're referring to here won't need to fly this particular type of aircraft. They don't need to learn how to fly an airplane like you could fly a Cessna.
Okay.
I still need to have it clarified. When you type certify an aircraft, well, you certify the plane, don't you? Or am I missing something?
No, pilots need to be certified in a particular type of aircraft.
Okay, so we're talking about the type certification for the pilot.
For the pilot.
All right, okay. Sorry to interrupt, but I needed to get that straight in my mind.
Okay. Mr. Hanthorn, could you please turn to tab number 18 here?
Yes.
Does that say Federal Aviation Regulation at the top?
Yes, it does.
Okay, and can you read subparagraph A there that says no person?
No person may operate an aircraft that has an experimental certificate.
And then under sub 2 there?
Carrying persons or property for compensation or hire.
And do you believe that the aircraft is not required to comply with that regulation?
I'm really not qualified to answer it. I apologize.
Okay, so you don't know whether or not that this regulation applies to the type of activity that you're referring to?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, I would ask the court to take judicial notice of that regulation and...
Yeah, but I think he's right. Why can't you get people certified on experimental aircraft?
You can, but you can't charge. You can't rent out your plane for that. You can't charge people for that.
All right.
Okay. And if the debtor, if it was against the FAA regulations, the debtor wouldn't do it, would it?
Not knowingly.
Okay. Isn't it true that you attempted to sell that aircraft last September?
Yes,
last August.
Yes, we did.
Okay. And do you have an attorney named David Bjornson?
Yes, I do.
And isn't it true that you and Mr. Bjornson filed liens against the aircraft in September of 2006?
That's correct.
Okay. I have the financial projections as one of my exhibits. Oh, before I forget, I think that your declaration would be Exhibit 21, and I'd ask that be admitted.
Okay. All right, it'll be admitted.
Okay, now let's look at Exhibit number 5 that your attorney was asking you about earlier.
Okay.
Now, these are the financial projections that you filed with the bankruptcy court, correct?
Yes.
And these were just prepared in the last 3 weeks, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they were prepared by you and your father?
Yes.
All right. And as I see these projections, I see that all revenue would be generated from sales of parts over the 6-month pro forma, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And where are the parts going to come from?
Either out of the inventory that exists or from purchasing the parts through third parties or from manufacturing them specifically, utilizing what is available right now so that they can be manufactured.
Okay. I don't see any line item in here for purchasing raw materials or components. Do you see one in here?
No.
Okay. And Let's see, I see a line item for manufacturing wages of...
I'll say what this line is intended to be is a net figure.
Okay. I see a line item here for manufacturing wages. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
$2,000 a month?
That's correct.
And assuming that you're going to be making these parts in-house, how many people would that employ?
It depends upon the part. In some cases, it would be more of a bookkeeping type of a scenario. But the parts still have to come from the company to be available on the aircraft in the manner that we're referring to. So if you had... what we need to do is take the stuff, get it up to the hangar, figure out what is there, what isn't there, what can be manufactured internally, what can be outsourced, who can do the outsourcing for that, which pieces are available. And I mean, you're arranging things from nuts and bolts to, you know, big pieces of fiberglass. So I mean, you're talking about a range of pieces here.
Okay, so how many manufacturing wages, how many people would that cover, $2,000 a month?
It would cover about 3/4 of one of the individuals that would be working there anyway.
Okay. And the items that you're talking about that you need to look at to determine what's there, et cetera, those have been in the hangars since June of 2005, and actually prior to that, have they not?
That's correct.
Okay. I believe you testified at your deposition that there are only approximately 10 purchasers with incomplete kits at this time. Is that correct?
Yeah, very well, maybe.
Okay. And have you spoken with them to determine what parts they still need?
Some of the people I've spoken with, some of them we've yet to identify.
Of the 10 people you've spoken with, some of them? Is that your testimony?
Yeah, that's an accurate statement.
Okay. And in reality, I heard you speaking about, you know, manufacturing parts and kits and things. So, but in reality, isn't it true that you don't even have a plan as to whether the debtor would do anything other than complete those 10 kits?
There are a plan. Interesting. In order to put together a cohesive plan that's something other than, you know, just a shot in the dark, you need to figure out where you are with a business. You need to then have the people that are sitting there picking up the phone and making those calls and figuring out which things that people have talked about are something they'd like versus something they can actually afford and are willing to pay for today, which of the manufacturing outsource people are going to be able to, you know, to actually come up with the parts and what the actual cost looks like on that. You need to put together the parts list. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And based upon that feasibility, you would make the proper determination of the direction of what the company is going to take. No, I can't sit here today and tell you that I understand everything about what this business needs. But I can tell you I'm willing to find out. I can tell you that we have the resources to do it.
Well, my question to you was whether, I heard you testify that this company was going to make kits. Isn't it true that you have no idea actually whether it's going to actually make kits?
The intent of the company is to make kits. Whether or not that ends up being something that makes the most sense for the company, I can't determine at this time.
So you don't know if you're going to make kits?
I don't know.
And you don't know what parts you're going to sell, do you?
I don't know which parts specifically we're going to sell.
Okay. Then where does this $10,000 figure come from under sales of parts?
It comes from an estimation of the types of parts that we think. Obviously, you notice it's a straight line number. So if we put this together and said one cowling, one fairing, one this, one that, you would have a detailed list of that. I don't think that $10,000 worth of net income from the sale of parts or other services of the company of that nature, whether it be the services of putting together listings and everything that is required so that these airplanes can be insured, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of work to do. I don't think $10,000 net income on a monthly basis is exceptional. And I'm actually surprised that you would be questioning whether or not a company that made over $1 million worth of revenue in a single year could come up with $10,000 worth of revenue over a three-month period of time.
Well, let's look, since you asked that, at the financial information that you presented in Exhibit number 8 that your attorney provided to you. I mean, yeah, it's Exhibit 8. So if you look on the last page of that, what was the net income of the company in 2004?
The company lost $167,268.53.
Okay.
According to the stock plan.
Okay, so let's turn back to those projections. And again, you don't know what parts you're going to be making. You don't know whether they're going to be manufactured in-house or obtained from someone But if they are obtained from someone, there's no line item in here for a cost of those parts. Is that correct?
The figure that you're referring to is a net income to the company. That's correct.
Okay. Now, do you anticipate that some of the builders that have incomplete kits, does that $10,000 a month figure contemplate that they'd be purchasing parts from you?
Yes, in some cases.
Okay, so these are people that already purchased kits, but they were incomplete, and you're going to charge them for the parts to complete their kits. Is that what I understand?
That's not always the case. There are a number of people who never purchased complete kits. There are people who bought aircraft on the secondary market.
But some of these people did purchase incomplete kits.
Some of these people purchased incomplete kits.
And are you planning on providing those parts to them for free?
I'm not at a position to tell you what would be done on each of those individualized bases. If there are debts that are owed to people, we're going to try to do everything that we can to resolve those on an individualized basis, depending upon what it is that makes the most sense for people.
Okay.
If that means we have a part that we can give somebody, that might be a very good way of dealing with that. But that's a debt resolution issue.
Okay. I see on these projections management wages, manufacturing wages, and office wages.
Where am I back?
I'm sorry. It's on exhibit. This is exhibit 5.
We're back here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So management wages, office wages, and manufacturing wages. It's $4,500 a month total. Is that right?
That's correct.
And isn't it correct that when I deposed you on May 7th, you didn't even know who the debtor was going to employ? Is that correct?
We had a number of conversations. I recall talking to you about a number of engineers that are on board that will be working on this project, that have already put time, effort, money into this project and will continue to do so. So I guess I'm not relating to that. I mean, those same individuals are here.
Okay, well, I'm looking at, if you turn to your deposition, page 86.
I don't have my deposition.
Okay. Let me know when you get to page 86, please.
I'm at page 86.
Okay. I'm going to start with line 22, and I'll just go ahead and read the question that I asked you so it makes sense, and then you can read the answer. Thank you. How many employees will Express have? Answer.
I don't know.
Question. Do you know what employees you will need, what positions you will need to fill?
Where are you now?
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead. Let me go back. Okay. Who do you plan to employ? Who does Express plan to employ?
At this point, it's pretty undetermined.
Question. Do you know what employees you will need, what positions you will need to fill?
It depends on the operations, what we will fill.
Okay. And these projections were filed with the court on, there's a date on here that says May 16th, but I believe they were filed with the court on May 15th. Is that correct?
I don't know what date they were filed.
Okay. As of the time I took your deposition on May 7th, however, you didn't know who you were going to employ. Is that correct?
Specifically, as I stated here, this is the type of thing, as is any business, you need to determine what the need is, and then you have to figure out who comes around and who's available and how you fit those people into the proper needs. Some of the individuals are very well identified, as I told you. I even told you some of them were. However, when you're asking me specifically about who is going to work precisely on Express, no, I can't determine until I know exactly what the operations are going to be. I don't know if we need a fiberglass guy. I don't know if we just need some office people. You're right. I really don't have a complete and total clear understanding and won't until we get in the operations and you're steering a moving car.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what you're talking about engineers. You said you had a number of engineers on board. I don't see a line item for payment of engineers on these projections. Can you point that out to me?
What you're seeing is you're seeing... what line am I looking for here? You're seeing a management wage and you're seeing office wages, et cetera.
Right.
Some of those individuals who are currently identified are engineers.
Okay.
That does not mean that they're going to perform engineering functions as a primary basis of what they're doing as it relates specifically to Express.
Okay, now isn't it true that the Florida company is going to have its own operations?
The Florida company will have its own operations, yes.
Okay.
Although they will not be, hopefully they will not be completely separate.
At this time, though, there's no agreement as between the two companies that the debtor is going to receive any income from the Florida company's operations. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct. I mean, there is a very clear understanding that if we can take this asset and move it and start to dig in and build the business, that we're willing, we're able, and the Florida company has resources, as you're aware, and they have an ability to take additional resources, and they will put it into Express to the degree that it makes financial sense. But is there a written letter guaranteeing that? No, not today.
Okay. Can you turn
although
to...
I do think I have the ability to talk on all three companies.
I agree with you. So to understand that there's no written agreement that the debtor would benefit financially from the Florida company at this time, is that correct?
No, there's history, and there is an understanding, a very clear understanding.
But no written agreement?
Correct.
Okay. And has the Florida company ever produced anything?
No.
Okay. Has the Florida company, since you acquired it when it was dormant, generated any income?
No.
Okay. Okay, we talked a little bit about the lease that you indicated had been obtained, and that was exhibit number 10. It appears to me that this is a lease between Harvey Field and the Florida Corporation. Is that correct?
Looking for your distinction, if you can help me, I might save some time.
Well, I think that if we turn to one area where we could find that would be the last page of the lease. Where it says tenant at the bottom. Do you see it says Exosphere Inc.?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and on the first page of this exhibit, this appears to be a letter. Is that your signature on the letter?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and I see that it says Exosphere Inc. hereby intends to execute the reference lease for Building 2 Suite B at Harvey Field. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and this is the Florida company, correct?
I'm looking for where you're finding that determination.
Well, I'm just assuming that it is because I know that you had testified previously, did you not, that the Florida company, in your deposition, that the Florida company was going to conduct its operations here?
The Florida company will conduct its operations.
Okay. So, and those operations may be separate from the debtor's operations, correct?
They may be completely separate.
Okay.
Hopefully not. I mean, we're really trying here.
Okay. And is there a lease, does the debtor have a lease agreement with anyone at this time?
Only within the hangars that exist today.
Okay, so the hangars where the stuff is being stored right now.
Correct.
The debtor doesn't have a lease for any ongoing operations right now, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, let's turn back to the projections, which are... Exhibit 5, again. Let's turn to the profit and loss number at the very end. You don't see where it says profit loss, but it's the last because it says it's the profit word has been cut off, but I assume it says profit loss. Do you see where I'm looking?
No, sorry.
Okay. Are you looking at Exhibit 5?
The six-month
performance.
Okay,
and then you look
at the
second
budget.
Page.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So the bottom line.
I can assume that says profit loss.
Okay, profit and loss. Mm-hmm. So now, do these projections show an aggregate loss of $53,689 for the first 3 months?
Yes, they do.
And then breaking even thereafter?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And you filed a motion with the court for authority to borrow $10,000 per month for operations, is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, and that's actually not a loan from the parent company, is it? It would be a loan from the Florida company.
The money, I believe, would flow through the, has to flow through the Washington Corporation.
Okay, well, when I look at the Exhibit 6.
The question is, yes, the money's going to come from the Florida Corporation. If we're trying to be very particular
okay.
about flow and all that, then I mean, we can try to define that. If you're just trying to figure out the, you know, where the money's going to come from, then we can probably short-step this.
Okay. And then the Florida company would, in exchange, receive administrative expense priority for the repayment of that loan. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And they've put out over $50,000 so far. So it would be nice if there was some assurance that it was going to continue to do so.
Okay. And it did it just give the company that money before?
It's advanced it based upon the loan document.
Okay. And has it done that since the petition was filed?
No.
Okay. Now, these projections don't show any profitability within the 6 months, do they?
It shows $153 a month.
Okay, excuse me. Aside from $153.37 for months 4, 5, and 6, it doesn't show any profitability.
That's correct. You can take a company from ground zero and have it be break even inside of a six-month period. It's a pretty strong model.
Okay, and there's no surplus here available to pay unsecured creditors, is there?
No.
Okay, and are you aware that in a Chapter 11, U.S. trustee fees need to be paid on a quarterly basis?
Yes.
I don't see a line item in here for that. Is there one?
I don't see one, no.
Okay, and are you aware the creditors committee has recently obtained counsel?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and are you aware that they are paid from the bankruptcy estate?
Yes.
Okay, and I don't see a line item in there for their counsel.
They did not have one at the time this was put together.
Okay, so if those were added in, then there would be not even, there would be continuing loss for months 4, 5, and 6, is that correct?
If all of the figures here are exactly correct, which the one assumption we can pretty clearly make is that they're not, then that would be correct.
The one assumption we can make is that the figures in these projections are incorrect?
Any projection, especially when you take something like a $10,000 net profit line item, is merely a projection.
Okay, and so on these projections, if you look, I see that there seems to be a substantial jump in the profit and loss between months 3 and 4. Do you see that as well?
Yeah, that's when it begins to get income.
So a negative $10,000 to $153.37, right?
Correct.
Okay, can you tell me which line item changes that allows that to happen?
The income line?
No, I'm seeing revenue as $10,000 for months 3 and 4. I see, I'll help you out here, I see that legal fees drop from month 3, $10,000 to month 4, $50,000.
Oh, absolutely. That would be very nice.
Okay, and why does that occur?
We're very strongly hoping to not continue through a bankruptcy proceeding and be able to resolve the issues here.
Okay, but again, if that didn't happen, then there would, again, be no profitability at all from months.
Well, there's two things happening there also. Also, an understanding from talking to attorneys, these things are fairly front-loaded, meaning that in months 4, 5, and 6, if this is the operations, we have some reports to file, we have some duties to the court, and we have some review time with the attorneys. But we don't have the type of time and effort and money that's been put in to get to the point where you and I are today.
So, again, if the attorney's fees didn't drop to $50 in month 4, then there wouldn't be any profitability for month 4, would there?
That's correct.
Okay.
We could potentially go out there, do our best, and lose money, and we're willing to try to do that.
Okay. Mr. Henthorne, do you have any experience in the manufacture of airplane parts?
None whatsoever.
Okay. And do you have any experience in the aviation industry?
Not really.
Okay. Do you have a pilot's license?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't have any further questions.
Mr. Feinstein?
Just a question on the last question. You are an experienced businessman?
Yes.
You own, besides owning these corporations, you have other company interests?
Yes.
And you've been, owning and running your own businesses for how long?
Since I was 12, 14 years old. The first business I had was, I was 12. I sold it when I was 14 and a half. It was a landscaping company. I then had a stereo store when I was 16. We sold that when I went to college. I founded the Young Entrepreneurs Club at University of Puget Sound, which still operates today. Did Emerald City Cellular. We were the most successful cellular company in North America. Still sit as the CEO of Innovative Communications Technologies, a publicly traded telecommunications company. I sit as the CEO of Real Time Rentals, another publicly traded company in the technology space as well. And if I'm bringing anything to the table with this, it's the business acumen and the ability to fund this legitimate operation. It's not that I know anything about airplanes. I mean, I'm an enthusiast. I don't want to say that I know nothing, but I mean, when you look at, you know, Ron Henthorne, you know, my father, 35 years, he was a vice president at Boeing. You look at Robert Trubner, you know, 37 years as a lead flight test mechanic for Boeing. John McLean, who's, you know, today is still active as an engineer with the Boeing company. And the other individuals that we have, you know, that are involved in the exosphere side of things that will lend their expertise down, you know, into this. I mean, we're extremely heavy in the upper management realm. So when you talk about who's going to do some of these other things, where the company is in need of bringing people into it is day-to-day, physically, you know, operationally. And that's what we have to determine after we figure out exactly the direction the company's going, where those needs really are, whether they're specific to, you know, AMP mechanic or more clerical or more manufacturing as it relates to, you know, to fiberglass, et cetera. But, you know, we're willing to, you know, to roll the dice and step out there on the basis that we can make a go of this thing.
And you're not an engineer that's going to design airplanes.
No, of course not. I think it's safe to say I have no aviation experience outside of being an enthusiast as it relates to my value to this project.
Ms. Tobin also asked you about U.S. trustees' fees or monthly reports. I just want to make you met with the U.S. trustee, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And you're aware that you have to file monthly operating reports with the court and the trustee and the creditors?
Absolutely.
And so creditors can follow on a month-to-month basis regular what you're doing, the operations, and you're going to file and keep them apprised.
We welcome it.
Okay. Mr. Tracy, any questions from you? Didn't give you a chance earlier.
No, that's all right, Your Honor. No, not at this time.
Okay. I have some questions. The documents indicate that you acquired the business involved here, the equity ownership and the partnership, in July of 2005. When did the company actually cease operations? Do you know?
I believe October the year prior.
Okay.
And
what was your involvement before July 2005? I sensed that, you know, this wasn't just a sudden date, that you had some connection with the business beforehand.
I had none whatsoever.
Okay. Well,
I was unaware of it.
But when did you first start working with the former owners? Was it pretty close to that July?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say within a 60-day period of time of that.
Okay.
I mean, we had some preliminary conversations, but.
Okay. All right. I think that's all I have. Any questions by counsel based on the court's inquiry?
No. Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Enthorpe, pray tell, what prompted you to get involved with this company?
As I sit here, interesting question. There was another individual who's a businessman that I don't know well, but I know of him and respect him, and he was looking at this opportunity, and I became aware of it from one of the guys with Exosphere, who's a fiberglass composite expert in the aviation world, and And so I kind of heard about it more in an interest standpoint, and I just kind of stepped back and watched what was happening, and then when I found out that the offer that he had made was not accepted, and that offer, to my understanding, was one that was a figure of money for the assets only and did not deal with any of the creditors outside of that, and for that basis, I believe, is why it was rejected. And I called him on the phone and asked him if he was, done with the deal or if he was still involved in it, because, I don't believe in preying on people with information that you have, from mutual parties. And we spent some time talking about the merits of the airplane itself, some of the issues with, with the assets and so forth. And he gave me permission at that point, not that I needed it, but from a general courtesy standpoint, to go ahead and contact the owners, because he wasn't going to change his offer, and he felt like their negotiations were done, and wished me luck. So that's why I initially began to kind of dig into it. As I said, I'm an enthusiast of airplanes. I've loved them my whole life, but they haven't been my, my primary business, and it intrigued me. I wanted to get involved in it, and then as I began to talk to some of the people who had built these airplanes, I realized that there's a really strong community here of people who have common interests, and I don't know, maybe I'm just a sucker, but I felt like it would be kind of a neat thing to get involved and start it up again. As I said, I didn't know anything about airplanes, but I didn't know anything about producing television game shows when I did that either. We had a nice run on MTV, so learned a lot through that process. But hopefully I'll learn an awful lot through this process also. One of the things I learned doing something I knew nothing about, i.e. television production, was you bring in people who know a lot more than you, and you try to learn what you can. And that's what we've done here. We have some pretty strong people who are, for the love of a project, are willing to put their time, effort, their own money into it as well. And, like I said, we'd like to make a go of it. I would have liked to have done this a lot earlier. It just wasn't practical from a standpoint of what needed to happen from the company and also what was happening personally and professionally with me. I didn't have the time to give it and what it needed. And, for that and the length of time, I apologize, because I felt at the time that I would have. But, prior to this proceeding, we'd already taken the steps to analyze the plane, to figure out what we were going to try to do, at least to figure out how we were going to try to do it. And we're here trying to do it. And we just want that chance.
Okay.
Your Honor, I'd like one follow-up question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would it be your opinion that these assets would have any marketable value if they were just taken down and sold at auction? Individually, people buy nuts and bolts and a mold here and a mold there. Would it bring in any money?
The molds are virtually useless if you're not going to do any type of manufacturing of parts specific to the airplane. The airplane itself probably has a value of give or take 25%, maybe $100,000 to somebody. And so I think that if you were to auction everything off there, I don't think Don Wheat's offer of $50,000 would be too far off the mark for somebody to need to have.
There's no basis for that figure or testimony.
The debtor can always express opinion.
Objection sustained.
The value. And since you purchased the business, how much money have you put into the business?
About $50,000.
Already. Thank you.
No, I actually now have one follow-up.
Go ahead.
I believe you testified at your deposition. Is the debtor going to make fiberglass parts?
I don't know.
I think actually you testified at your deposition that it was not going to make fiberglass parts.
I believe that they would make them available. I seriously doubt that we would go into building a composite factory to manufacture any of the significant parts. Some of the smaller ones, maybe. It just doesn't make any sense. There are houses that that live in big production facilities with that just do it far more efficiently. I think that was one of the mistakes that was made, was trying to make them without outsourcing it. So, I mean, I don't know what would happen. My opinion sitting here today is that it probably doesn't make any sense to not outsource the manufacturing of that.
Well, isn't that what the molds we're talking about? Aren't those for the fiberglass parts?
Yeah, but you'd have to have them in order to have them manufactured anywhere. Okay. And you couldn't just say, build me this part without a mold. You'd have to build a mold first.
Okay, you want to step down?
Thank you.
Okay, further evidence, Mr. Feinstein?
No.
Okay. Are these?
Yeah, just leave them right there.
Just leave them right there.
Okay. All right. You know, folks, I could go on with this thing. But, you know, and let me tell you what I'm thinking about, Mr. Feinstein. If you got any other evidence, I'd be glad to look at it. But we have, Mr. Hanthorne's been quite candid with the court, candid in a disappointing way, I mean, but he's telling the truth. And here's what you've got. You got a new business. I mean, come on. A business that closed in October of 2004, and we're relying on some kind of viability there. Well, you'd think in the last 2.5 years, somebody would have been knocking on the door of this thing. And he acquires it in 2005, and effectively nothing's happened. He doesn't know who the market is. He doesn't know what the business would do. You know, he doesn't know the parameters of anything. And he doesn't know because I'm not sure there's really a business here. There's a pile of assets, you know, including a plane that's an experimental plane, including a bunch of molds that we may or may not use, including some parts that may have an interest of as many as 10 people and maybe a few more because somebody else's kit is missing a part. And I'm trying to say, well, wait a minute now. There's some value in these assets to the creditors, you know, at liquidation. You know, maybe it is only $100,000, but where's the value elsewhere? I mean, this is like coming to the court and saying, well, Your Honor, we want to start a new business, and you know, we got a pile of assets here. Maybe we can use them. And maybe we can't. And we don't know what creditors are going to get paid or any of that stuff. But this is what, you know, of course, I colloquially refer to over the years, big hat, no cows. You know, there's not enough financing here to carry through any kind of a business. And financing is sort of a, you know, just maintain status quo. And frankly, these assets are under, have been attached under execution, if I'm not mistaken. You know, the existing debtors' principals, who apparently have some money, might be better to show up at the auction. Then you get the parts and all the stuff, and you can do with them what you want. And, you know, whatever the creditors are, they get what they get. But there's no business here. There's nothing to preserve to make a reorganization and process. So I'm going to deny the motions to turn over the assets because I'm going to dismiss the case. This one, the tool of bankruptcy just isn't an effective one, you know, to deal with the new business.
Well, and in that regard, Your Honor, then why not consider converting the case, get a trustee and have an auction?
It might be easier on the creditors.
Because
we have attached.
Well, because here's the problem: the debtor and creditors, at least Mr. Tracy's going to say probably, in dismissing, is that the sheriff has a sale. The four creditors that had this default judgment just bids in a credit bid for their default judgment because they're the selling party.
I understand. And here's what I'm going to do: is I'm going to dismiss the case. And I'm going to schedule the presentation of the order at noon next Tuesday. And if you want to see if you can get it converted within that period of time, I'll leave that up to you.
You know, that may be the best thing because my concern is, as I look at the record, the judgment creditors have got a clear preference. And so if there's a trustee that can go and avoid that so that these assets if they are out there, are available for all the creditors and not just three or four, then...
Well, nobody's moved to convert the case. The debtor certainly would seemingly have the right to do so, even in Chapter 11. But I'm going to dismiss the case next Tuesday if nothing happens. And as I said, I could listen to this stuff all day, Ms. Tobin, but I don't know what else you'd tell me that I didn't already figure out. You know, every time I get one of these things, I must candidly confess, after the experiences now of almost 21 years, every once in a while, people say to me, well, why don't you have evidentiary hearings? And the answer is, I could have figured out the day this thing was filed just about what the evidence was. And as I say, Mr. Hanthorne, you know, I criticized you in a sense that you haven't got this business going, but I appreciate your candor in telling me that. So that'll be the court's order. Anything else needs to come before the court this morning? Okay, we'll be at recess then.
What was the time of the presentation of the order, Your Honor?
I just file electronically. Well, let's see. You know, you have to come at noon, so we can see what happened. So, yeah. I don't think there's too much problem with the form of the order.
Does he want to do it in the conference room, or do you want to
do
it here?
Probably do it in the conference room.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where he normally goes.
Okay, so I'll go buzz my way back. Thanks.
Back there?
Yes.
I'm going to go Seattle's triplets.
Pardon?
Seattle's triplets. He's got something else that he's...
He's doing a settlement conference now.
Okay.